James 4:14, there's a question there we want to consider in the gospel for a little while tonight. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The question just there in the middle, for what is your life? For a few minutes tonight, I want you to think about your life. And I want you to think about how you're living your life here upon this earth. You think of the question here in the text, what is your life? Sometimes we get too focused on somebody else's life, the way that they're living. So what is your life? That's a good question, especially at this time of crisis. And I want to encourage you to ponder it carefully. I want you to ask tonight, what is life for you? What is your life all about? What is your life taken up with? What is it devoted to? What is your life focused on? Remember that life is a precious gift. Life comes from the hand of God. Paul said, preaching on Mars Hill, he giveth to all life and breath and all things freely to enjoy. So it's good to remember that. The life you have, the breath that you breathe, it comes from the hand of God. And that's something that we should continually praise the Lord for. And remember that at very best, life is short. We're reminded of that here in the text. What is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time. You're only here for a little while, a little time upon this earth. You don't have long to live. So it's good to take that in. It's good tonight to take that to heart. And you need to be wise. You need to be careful how you use that little time that the Lord is pleased to give to you. So men and women, it's a very important thing to consider your life, especially in the light of the fact that life can end so quickly. And I want you to do that just for a short time tonight. The sad reality is, as you think of life, many people make mistakes. Many people make great mistakes about the purpose of life. They make great mistakes about what life is really for and what life is really all about. And maybe you're one of those people. You have a wrong estimate of life. The reality, as you said in the gospel service tonight, is that you're living life all wrong. So let me list for you just the main mistakes that people make about life upon this earth. The first thing I'll mention to you is that some people think that life is all about things. We talk about the things of life. And many people just live for things, for what they own, for what they possess, for what they can amass. And maybe you're like that. You think life is all about obtaining and owning things. You think tonight that the more possessions a person has, then the more successful their life is. You judge the success of life by what you have. It's a common mistake. And if you're making that mistake, I want you to see tonight how wrong you are. You remember that the Saviour warned, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So the message of the Lord Jesus is that things, temporal possessions, they're not the most important thing in life. They shouldn't have priority in your life. And yet many people live as if there was nothing else to life. Do you remember the rich young ruler? The Saviour said to him that day, sell all that thou hast and give to the poor. Now let me make it clear, the Lord Jesus wasn't teaching him that day salvation by works when he said, sell all that thou hast and give to the poor. He wasn't saying he could get into heaven by charitable giving or by charitable doing. What the Lord Jesus was doing that day was showing the rich young ruler that he couldn't get past the first commandment. Remember that he had boasted about his keeping of the commandments, but the Lord Jesus showed him that day he couldn't even get past the first commandment because money was his God. Money was his idol. And maybe you're like that. William Jennings Bryan was a very famous American politician way back at the beginning of the 20th century. He said, those people who live for money, and maybe that describes somebody in the meeting tonight, well, those people that live for money spend the first half of their life getting what they can from everybody else, and then they spend the second half of their life trying to keep everybody else from getting what they have. And how true that is. You see, money can become a burden. Maybe that's a summary of your life so far. Can I ask you to consider yourself this vital question? What's going to happen to all the things that you have? What's going to happen to all the things that you possess? Just think about that for a few moments. And let me mention for you some answers to that question, not given by me, not given by the church, not given by the government, but answers to that question that are given by God himself and his word. What's going to happen to everything that you have? Well, for one thing, it's going to decay. It's going to wear out. It's going to wear away. The Savior in his great Sermon on the Mount said, we're not to lay up for ourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. He's talking about our treasures. That's the things that we value in life. Do you see what he said about them? They're going to end in dust or rust. And I pray that you'll see that tonight. One day, everything that you have, it'll just be junk or rubbish. Things don't last forever, men and women. It's good to be reminded of it. Remember that they're all only temporal. The things of life are temporal. Something else that's going to happen to everything that you have is it's going to be left behind. You're not going to take them with you. Remember that it's often repeated, there's no trailer on a hearse. Paul said to Timothy, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. You notice the word nothing twice in the verse, or no thing. See how relevant the scriptures are? There's not one thing that you have, there's not one thing that you own that you're going to take with you from this world whenever you die. The other thing that I'll mention that will happen to all the things that you have is they're going to be destroyed. Do you remember that God once destroyed this world with water, with the water of Noah's flood? Well, there's a day coming when he's going to destroy the world again, but this time by fire. Peter speaks of that day, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Do you note again? He says all these things. The Bible has so much to say about the things of life. God created this world, but there's a day that is fast coming when he's going to cremate it and everything in it. So men and women, you need to see this evening it's a mistake. It's a very serious mistake to live your life only for things. Another mistake is you think of the question, what is your life? Another mistake that so many people make is that they think life is all about thrills. There's an old gospel hymn that says, as you hurry along in the pleasure-mad throng. I wonder, does that describe somebody in the gospel service this evening? Is that the way you live, the company that you keep? Just a pleasure-mad throng. Life is all about pleasure, about excitement, about the fun and the thrills. For you, life is just one big party from beginning to end. And you never want the party to end. You live for the weekend, for the pub, the club, the drink, the dance, the drugs, the lusts of the flesh, the thrills of life. But yet you'd have to admit, if you're really honest, that it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter where you go, it doesn't matter how often you do it, you're never really happy, you're never really satisfied. There's still a great void, there's still a great emptiness in your life. I wonder, is that you tonight? Are you like that? You've tried everything that life, everything that the world has to offer, then you did it more, you did it in a far greater measure, but it only brought you greater disappointment, it only brought you greater emptiness. Can I tell you tonight why that is? It's because the thrills of sin don't last. They're shallow. They're transient. They're fleeting. You think of what the Bible says about Moses. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So just take that in this evening. Take it to heart. There is pleasure in sin. That cannot be denied. But it's only for a season. They don't last. And remember, as you think of the pleasures and the thrills of sin, there's a season of reaping as well as a season of sowing. As in the natural, so in the spiritual. If you sow to the flesh, if you sow to its lusts, then you're going to reap the consequences of that. The book of Galatians reminds us, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. So it's clear, clear message, clear warning. If you only live for the flesh, if you only live for sin, there is a harvest coming. And ultimately that harvest will be that you'll receive the penalty for sin by going out into a lost eternity. There is another gospel hymn that I'm sure many in the meeting tonight are familiar with. It says, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. And how true that is, men and women. The reality is that real joy, real happiness, is only to be found in Jesus Christ. He alone gives joy unspeakable. Think of those words, joy unspeakable. In other words, joy that cannot fully be described. The psalmist said, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures for evermore. So I stress to you tonight that the fullness of joy, lasting pleasure, is only to be found in Christ. And it's only to be found in being with Jesus Christ for all eternity. So I want to ask you, will you come tonight and receive him as your Saviour? The final thing that I'll mention to you, think of the question, what is your life? For some, it's all about things. Others, it's all about thrills. Increasingly so in the day in which we live. The third thing I'll mention is that for some people, life is all about theories. They live for theories. They're taken up with theories. Their life is absorbed with all the theories of men and all that they are. Theories like communism, atheism, environmentalism, all the isms, all the fads, all the philosophies of this evil day in which we live. And they run after all of those things, all the notions of men about health and wealth and the life hereafter. There's a great explosion today in what is called conspiracy theories. Who killed JFK? Who blew up the Twin Towers? Is Elvis Presley really dead? Did Neil Armstrong really stand on the moon? Conspiracy theories, they abound. Even in relation to the coronavirus pandemic that we're passing through. Just outside Armagh City, there's a factory called McLaughlin and Harveys. They opened a new factory there just a few years ago. The factory stands on the site where the old Drumsill Hotel used to stand. In the late 1990s, in that old Drumsill Hotel, there was a preacher from New Zealand called Barry White that held meetings in the hotel. And one of the things that he said was that in the year 2000, all the computers in the world were going to crash. The world would be plunged into chaos. He warned people to get ready for that day. One of the things that he told the people that they needed to do was to buy large amounts of toilet roll. You ask, why did he suggest toilet roll? Well, he said you could bargain with it. You could barter with it when all the economies of the world had crashed. And I know people that went to those meetings and did some of the things that Barry White said. But isn't it a sad thing when a preacher starts to promote theories, conspiracy theories? I wonder, is that true of somebody in the meeting tonight? You're taken up with theories, listening to, reading, studying, promoting all sorts of theories. Let me warn you tonight, men and women, that theories are a weapon of the devil. Do you know what theories will do? What theories will do to your soul? It will take it to hell. Theories will damn your soul for all eternity. Let me tell you what you need most of all tonight. What you need to listen to, what you need to devote your time to, is not the theories of men, but the truth of God. And God's truth is only found in the Bible. Remember, the Saviour said in his great high priestly prayer, "Thy word is truth." This book is not theory. It's not guesswork. It's not fiction. It's not make-believe. It is the truth. And it is the message of him who is the truth. And that's the reason why you need to read the Bible regularly, carefully. That's why you need to come faithfully to the meetings, sit under the regular, the faithful preaching of the Word of God. Let me remind you, men and women, that this book is the greatest book on earth. That's the reason why it's the most attacked book on earth. And this book can do something that no other book in the world, no other book in the history of this world can do. That's the reason why it's so precious, the reason why it's so valuable. You ask tonight, what can the Bible do that no other book can do? It can show you the way to heaven. It can tell you the way to experience God's so great salvation. Paul said to Timothy that it's able to make you wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. So the Bible can give you the greatest knowledge. The Bible can give you the greatest education. Through this book you can get to know Christ, the one who is the Son of God, the one who is the only Saviour of sinners. You can get to know him personally, intimately. You can get to know Christ savingly. You can know tonight that your sins are forgiven. John said in his first epistle, "These things are written that ye might know that ye have eternal life." You know, the question's often asked, how do you know? You have maybe had that question posed to you. There's actually a whole series of those how do you know questions. How do you know there is a hell? How do you really know there is a God? And so on. When you're out witnessing or out on the doors, you often have those things brought up. The one I want you to think about in the context of what we're considering is, how do you really know that the Bible is true? You ever been asked that? Maybe you're asking that as you sit in the meeting tonight. Well, the simple answer to that question is this, men and women. If you really want to know that the Bible is true, then put it to the test. That's what you do with anything, if you want to know that it is true. So what you need to do tonight is put the Word of God to the test. And you can do that now. You can do it right now, in this meeting. You can do it tonight without any further delay. The Bible says, if you repent and believe the gospel, if you turn from your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you do that, that your life will be changed. Your sins will be forgiven. You'll be saved, and you'll have peace in your life, and you'll have peace with God. So if you really, truthfully, genuinely, sincerely want to know if the message of this book is true, that the message of this book is the truth of him who cannot lie, then that's what to do, my friend. Put the book of God to the test tonight. Confess your sins. Trust Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. And if you do that, you will find that you're a new creature in Christ, that your life will be changed, changed completely, and your life will be changed forever. I'll say this to you just in closing. Think again of the question, what is your life? What is your life tonight? Can it be summed up with one of these things? Life for you is all about things, all about thrills, all about theories. I stress again, men and women, that these all are false estimates of what life on this earth is all about and how life on this earth really should be lived. If any of these things is what you're living for, if any of these things is what you're spending your time, your energy, your talents on, then I want you to know before you go from the meeting, before you go from the house of God, I want you to see that's the reason why your life is so empty. That's the reason why your life on this earth is so meaningless and so futile. Remember, you'll never find real life. You'll never find the real purpose for life until you find it in Jesus Christ. And until you come to Jesus Christ and live your life for him. And I want to urge you to do that. Do it now. Do it at the close of this gospel service. Remember, he is the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Paul said to me, to live is Christ. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. So what that means is that to find real, lasting, satisfying life, you need to find Christ. And you need to come to him. Come to him alone for salvation. And I want to urge you, men and women, to do that. To do that this evening. And I urge you to do it with all of my heart. So think of the question. May the Lord write it powerfully, indelibly upon your heart this evening. What is your life?